That's okay. I think we're on the air.
You sound 10 times better over Skype.
Thanks. So do you.
You kind of look better, too. I don't know what that means.
You can just see me on your screen.
Well, the little green bar that shows me how loud you are.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, where have you been?
Yes, I have.
Where have you been?
Whoa.
You okay?
Oh, okay. I mistakenly went to our website and the live thing popped up.
Oh, okay. Oh, wait a minute. Yeah, I forgot to tweet that we are actually on air now.
Yeah.
Wait a sec.
Make it official to the masses. It's like a radio show.
All right, it's out there.
So, where have you been?
We're official. Gosh, I've been all over the place. I don't think we've talked since I've been back from my out west trip, have we? Have we?
No, we haven't. No, we haven't done this in a month and a half. No.
Holy man, that's crazy.
Yeah, so much.
I feel like we've disappointed a lot of people. Like we've let a lot of people down.
Yeah. Been getting a lot of we haven't got any complaints.
Yeah.
I think we've left it much longer than this before.
Right. Yeah, back in the spring, I think. Back when I hated you.
But then I tried to contact you on Twitter to ask you when we were next going to be recording, and your reply was just yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Very important.
You know, it's weird that people such as yourself would try to contact me on Twitter to set up like definite dates and times for things, because there are times like for days that I don't check Twitter. So so if you send me an email, I'm guaranteed to respond with a sensible answer. Right?
I sent you an email eventually, yeah.
Yeah. Like when I was on vacation, you know, there was 2 days where I was totally off the grid. I had no phone service. I had no internet, nothing, when I was out at the Grand Canyon, which was great, but you know, I'm sure I missed a lot of important stuff.
How is the Grand Canyon? Is it, it's a great place, presumably.
Yeah. It was gorgeous. I went to the North Rim, which is, the less touristy place, like not as many people go there as go to the South Rim. So, and it's a little cooler and it's higher elevation. I'd recommend it to anybody.
Yeah, great. I mean, maybe I'll go see it one day.
Yeah. Give me your ring. We'll do a road trip.
Yeah.
So what have you been up to?
Oh, Christ.
No kidding.
Yeah, I've been, everything. I haven't been writing so much on the blog recently because of A-levels, and I've been writing a blog system.
Right, I saw that.
Yeah. So that's kind of consuming all my available time.
So instead of writing blog posts, you're writing the engine that makes the blog posts.
Yeah.
I see. Cool. Well, welcome back. This is the Hello Show. We're recording. Yeah.
Yeah. Episode 15.
15. Or, well, you combine 13 and 14 into one, so I can't really call it 14.
Yeah. I mean, so we'll probably do like a 16 and a half at some point and get back in sync with the actual.
I hope so. I don't want to confuse people.
Yeah.
So, and I guess people are listening to this live, or they could be right now.
Yeah, they could. We have got a new recording arrangement this week, and a side effect of that is that we can do a live stream.
Right.
So, I guess it's a bit late if you're listening to the recorded version.
Yeah.
You can catch it live. Just follow us on Twitter, and if you don't have a Twitter account, then you can just follow our Twitter stream with RSS. So if you just go to twitter.com/hellopodcast click on the RSS icon and you can subscribe like that, and we'll let you know when next thing is going to be recorded. You can possibly listen live in the future.
Right, which could be 3 months from now. You never know.
Yeah. Could be 2011.
Right. and we've got a new setup here, which I don't want to jinx us, but it seems you sound good. Skype is great. I think it's working great.
Yeah. Yeah. So we've got a bunch of stuff to talk about. First of all is the whole iTunes 10 thing.
Mm. Yeah.
So what do you make of it?
Well, I'm staring at the little blue icon right now. And I read somewhere had predicted that the CD was going to go away.
Yeah.
I forget who that was. Who was that?
Where I read that. I actually changed the icon back to the old one. I don't like
it. Did you?
At all.
No. I did save the old one.
The beam between the quavers, like, it looks bent like it's from a cartoon.
Hmm.
It's just horrible.
I like it because it sits at the end of Dashboard, Safari, Firefox, Google Chrome, and then iTunes. And so you have like five little circles down there of fun. If I put iChat next to it, it would be six.
You want them all to look similar in a way.
Yeah. Yep.
Mm-hmm. How do you tell?
And then you've got the squares. I've got iPhoto, iCal, Photoshop, Notational Velocity. I could put settings over there, and then you'd have a bunch of squares.
Yeah. And a diamond for BB Edit. Oh, I guess you use Text Strangler.
Right, which is the diamond. So I think it's kind of fun. It's like Sesame Street and shapes and things.
Yeah.
So, but the actual iTunes 10, the actual thing, the number one weird thing is the zoom and close buttons all rearranged to vertical.
Yeah.
And then the other thing is the desaturated sidebar.
Yeah. Yeah, those are both really weird changes.
Yeah.
At least there is a little default diddle you can do in the terminal or in the secret stop pref pane to actually rotate those around to the proper way that they are on every other app on the system.
Right.
Have you done that?
But the desaturated thing, I mean, you know, my eyes work better with color so that I know, you know, the green stuff is the
stopper. I can't prefer them without color. I think they look kind of minimalist and classy.
Minimalism. I think color better. So maybe that's a British thing. I don't know.
Maybe.
Yeah. So anyway, you know, I don't know the ping stuff. I'm on there, but
I got ping right after the iTunes 10 was released, and I just closed it off right away.
Yeah. I follow a bunch of bands on there, and there's a few people, but I don't know. I just can't imagine ever looking at it again.
Mm.
So, and then the point of it was to find recommendations from the people you follow, but the people that I follow, all their stuff is crap. Like, it's all jazz stuff, and you know, not that I have anything against jazz, but
jazz, you know what's wrong with jazz today? I love jazz.
Nothing is wrong with jazz, but I'm not going to buy it off iTunes. You know, I'm going to go to like Goodwill and buy it for a used jazz CD or something.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, the utility of the thing just isn't there for me.
Yeah.
So that's iTunes 10. I don't know. I think they should have called it iTunes X, but, you know.
Yeah. Well, I think they should have called it iTunes X if they had actually changed it to a Cocoa application.
Yeah.
And they have actually started to do that in two ways. Because the more they implement of it in WebKit views, the easier it is to change because it's all just HTML and JavaScript.
Right.
And just move that over to Cocoa easy peasy. No changes.
And two, there is actually the one of the startup, like the startup files that the system uses to launch the application, that is now apparently a Cocoa thing instead of a Garden thing. So they are slowly doing it. They're playing sort of a long game with changing over to Cocoa.
Right. 10 years later.
Yeah. Because iTunes is so big, it does so much that I don't think that you could just port it straight to Cocoa like they did with Finder.
It'd be more like a Photoshop-sized job than...
Yeah. Although they did the... Is CS5 now Cocoa? Oh, I forget. Yeah, it is.
I don't think so.
Yeah, that was the whole deal with CS5. It was 64-bit. So
oh, yeah, okay. Cocoa.
They did the whole...
Yep. Yeah. But iTunes, I mean, that's old news now. No, we've had that for months now. What?
Yeah, and then there's also this new Twitter thing. Have you been bumped up yet to the new?
I'm one of those guys that never checks the Twitter website, so I'm.
Yeah, I've got it. I'm still not sure what to think of it, but just I think because it's a web app, and there are so many good non-web clients for it.
Right.
I think
What do you use on your Mac?
I use Tweety.
Tweety? Use Twitterific.
The most I use the website for is when I want to retweet something, because Tweety still doesn't do native retweets. I just open the URL of the tweet in my browser and click on the retweet to do the native retweet.
Right. Twitterific is nice because you can copy the URL for the tweet.
Twitterific, I don't like it.
No.
No.
See, I didn't like it so much for the iPhone, but the Mac version I kind of like.
What are you using on the iPhone now?
I'm using the official Twitter client, and I love it. Yeah. After going from Twitterific to the official Twitter client, it's gorgeous.
You never used Tweety. I think they've made a mess of Twitter.
Oh, really?
It's Tweety was great. And it's still, Twitter for iPhone is still great, but it's not as great as it was.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not all that picky, so I find something that I can tolerate, and I'm you know, it doesn't frustrate me any, so I just stick with it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there was a time back when the when Twitter switched to OAuth that it broke Twitterific, and so I did have to try out a few things, and that's actually how I switched to the Twitter app on the iPhone.
Mm.
So unless it breaks again, I'll stick with it. What else we got? What else has happened since we've been gone?
So much. I sent you an email and I can't remember what was in it now. I can't be bothered going over to the computer because I'm on my iPhone right now.
God forbid. The new stuff is, I mean, there's a couple of new things. The iPad just got launched in Verizon stores here in the U.S.
Yeah.
And then the Mac event next week, which is pretty exciting.
Well, I don't think it's that exciting. I mean,
Are you crazy? Are you crazy? Like, this is 10.7. This is...
I'll tell you what it's going to be, Dave. It's going to be a new MacBook Air. It's going to be a preview of 10.7 that shows some stuff, maybe some stuff, early features, prototypes of features, but it's going to look exactly the same as 10.6. And then maybe the new versions of iLife and iWork.
And that's going to be it?
Yeah, I don't think, you know.
Well, 10.7.
It's early on. They are now working to, it's either an 18-month or a 2-year schedule for new versions of OS X.
Mm-hmm.
So it's already been a year. If they're working to 18 months, then it's a reasonable time.
Like WWDC or something for the new one?
For 2 years, which is what I think they're more likely aiming for. Then it's, you know, is it another year until we'll see it released?
Right. Well, that's okay. I I get excited about the new 10 dot whatever just because, you know, we're both Mac guys and I always like to see all the new stuff in the operating system, even though I'll admit, you know, I don't use half of the new stuff in Snow Leopard. You know, a lot of that stuff was just kind of under the hood.
New stuff in Snow Leopard?
What's that?
You mean there was new stuff in Snow Leopard?
I think so. I don't use it a whole lot.
I honestly forget when I'm on my PowerBook that they are not the same OS.
Really?
Yeah.
You have Leopard on your PowerBook?
The only difference I notice is in the services menu.
Right.
Because they rejigger that so wonderfully.
That's a good point, because I have Leopard on my MacBook Pro and Snow Leopard on my iMac, and you're right, there's not a whole lot of difference.
Yeah.
And I, you know, sometimes I still think that the MacBook Pro actually runs a little bit nicer and manages memory a little bit better than my iMac. And it's, you know, it's a 6 month newer or older machine than the iMac. And I've never figured that out. It could be just the way I have the iMac configured, but.
Yeah.
But I get memory leaks all the time. I don't know. So, but anyway, with the MacBook Air, you know, what do you think? It's going to be a smaller, like 11 inch or something.
I really hope that they go back to the 12 inch
form. Or 12 inch, yeah.
Yeah. Or even if they do a widescreen one, then I guess it would be probably closer to 11 inches. But yeah. I really hope that they do that. Because it was just such a great thing where the keyboard exactly matched the width of the device.
Mm-hmm.
It was shaped around the keyboard so they didn't have to shrink the keyboard.
Right.
And the 13-inch one, it's just slightly bigger than the keyboard. Which seems a bit wasteful for not that much screen real estate gain.
Right. So it could be 1 to 2 inches smaller than the 13-inch MacBook, which I always thought was kind of weird back in the PowerPC days. Like they had the 14-inch iBook and then they had the 15-inch PowerBook.
Yeah.
So what was the difference, you know?
Well, there was no difference in the actual real estate you got with the 12-inch and the 15-inch. No, the 12-inch and the 14-inch. iBooks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they were both 1024x768.
Right. But I mean, you know, how wide the thing is. Why make a 15-inch PowerBook and then a 14-inch, only an inch smaller iBook? Portability, maybe? Because it's the consumer model?
Well, yeah, I think price and portability.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't think about price. Huh. Have you gotten any new Macs lately? I know our good friend Mr. Thomas Brand sent you something.
yeah, he very kindly sent me an old Mac Mini of I guess it was his, and then he gave it to his dad, and then his dad got a new thing, so he sent this Mac Mini to me. So thank you again publicly to Thomas for sending me this.
Right, and it's an Intel Mac, so you've got an Intel Mac.
I'm fully up to date for the first time.
Great. How does it run?
Oh, it did great. Great.
Now, is that like a first generation?
It's not how fast apps launch, but how fast all my scripts run. Because we've been through this before, but I have a lot of like Apple scripts, Perl scripts, that sort of thing, just set up to, you know, do things like, well, various stuff, but things like that. And they really run, they start, it seemed like on the PowerBook it would take a while to start doing the script, but after that it would just do it quite quickly. On this, there's no delay at all.
Right.
It's amazingly fast.
Amazingly. So you've got your Mac set up like a robot. You've got all these little instruction sets.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Now, is that a Core Duo or?
It's a Core. It's Core Duo. It's not not the Core 2 Duo. It's a 32-bit one. But it.
Okay. So that's like the second generation.
I'm not sure. Whatever, it's fast.
Yeah, fast enough.
Fast enough, yeah.
Yeah. Because that was the thing about the Mac Minis was, you know, you can never expect much performance out of it. It was just kind of your email and writing machine or whatever, but.
Yeah. And there I am right now doing a three-way, hosting a three-way Skype call and pushing out a broadcast to a server somewhere.
Right. There you go. Three ways on David's Mac. There's your quote. And I love the Mac Mini. I think it is just a wonderful looking computer. I just love the form factor of it. I'd love to have one.
Yeah.
I don't like the new one so much. I much prefer the older design.
Yeah. I'm glad they actually introduced the new one, actually, in a new design. I'm not too keen on the new design they picked, but as a new design. Because I think the whole thing with the Mac Mini was they might be nervous to change the form factor in case anybody was thinking that it was going to stay that size forever, or it's just smaller.
Yeah. I don't know how it could get much smaller, you know.
Well, look at the Apple TV. I mean, if you took the optical drive out.
Yeah.
I mean, that would make a great server, just an Apple TV-sized box.
Just a little black box.
Yeah. Well, you could fit, if you made it one rack unit high, you could fit like 10 of them on a row.
Holy moly.
That would save you a lot of money in the data center.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be, and cool to look at, like this giant monolith of Mac Minis humming away.
Yeah.
Maybe not humming, but...
Yeah.
Vibrating.
But it made me wonder also about the Power Mac Cube, the G4 Cube. What would have happened if the G4 Cube had been a success?
Hmm.
Just been for one model, one generation of products, they'd have made like maybe three of them and just bump the processor speed until the G5s and then cut it and not done a G5 cube.
I don't know. Yeah, because I don't know how you could do it with the...
They have carried it through to today and done a Mac Pro cube.
Yeah. And maybe you wouldn't have all the heating issues and things like that.
Yeah.
They could figure that out. So, and then, you know, maybe they take that and make a consumer version, and that's the Mac Mini. You know, so you've got the Cube Power Mac, and then you've got the Mac Mini Consumer Mac.
Yeah.
That'd be pretty cool.
That was always kind of weird. When they introduced the Cube, they had it started out with the four squares product matrix. But when they introduced the Cube, they spread it out. So you had the iMac and the iBook on one side, the Power Mac and the Power Book on the other, and then in the middle, between the iMac and the Power Mac, you had
the Cube.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was never really clear if there was anything going to go below that. Were they going to do a sub-notebook, perhaps?
Right. And if they had kept the Cube, then they would have three Power Macs. They would have three consumers.
Apart from the fact that it was a really cool looking computer, I don't quite see what their product strategy was with that.
Right. Well, they just wanted to make something cool.
Yeah. Well,
they took a chance. So you saw Grant's naked cube over on Twitter.
Oh, I like that. I had that as my desktop picture for a while.
Yeah, that was pretty neat. If you follow Splorp on Twitter, you can see his naked cube. It's the cube days, without the...
Just about go back quite a while now. Probably best on Flickr. /Splorp.
Nope. He's got a neat Flickr account. I love looking at his stuff.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, you hear I'm cleaning out my Macs.
Yeah. You're having a bitty big clean out.
I know. People are asking me what's wrong. You know, am I depressed? Did I lose a family member? None of those things are true, but it's nice that they ask.
You're just cleaning out.
Yeah, you know, it's just hard to find the time, and I feel guilty when a Mac just sits there and doesn't get turned on for a long time.
I was supposed to think that you were clearing out your iMac G3.
Yeah.
A few weeks ago, or whenever we last did the show, or maybe the show before that, you said that was one of the things you used most.
It is one of the things I used most. But I was having this weird issue where I would use it, and then I would go to shut it down or restart it, and it won't shut down or restart.
Oh.
The screen just kind of flickers, and then it pops right back to the desktop. It doesn't do anything.
Oh, that's interesting.
It's very interesting, and I tried to come up with some sort of solution or whatever, and the only thing that worked was, because it's running OS 9, I would start it without extensions. So I would hold shift on the boot up with the extensions turned off, and then...
One thing you could use to solve that is look up an old product of Cassidy and Green called Conflict Catcher.
Conflict Capture?
Conflict Catcher. As in... That was the name of Cassidy and Green's product which would help you find system extensions which might be causing problems or which were conflicting.
Right. I'll have to look into that.
You might have tried.
But anyway, I thought that the iMac was doomed. Like I was maybe it was a hardware problem, something like that. And so what I decided to do, and you can read all about this at newtonpoetry.com because I posted something on Monday about it.
I
took the hard drive out of the iMac and put it in my PowerMac G3 just as kind of like if I could make this work, I would love to have, you know, because it's really just the hard drive that I want. It's nothing about the iMac that's making me keep it. And it worked. I mean, it worked great. I got the iMac hard drive installed, and so now I can boot either into that hard drive or the Power Macs.
All right. When I tried that, taking the hard drive from my iMac G3 into my Power Mac G4, my OS 9 setup stopped working, and I had to reinstall.
Mm.
I guess maybe that's the process of change.
Yeah, maybe. Because the Power Mac has 8.6 on it. And so, you know, going to 9 isn't such a stretch.
Yeah.
But the iMac hard drive still had that shutdown issue where, you know, it didn't want to restart, it didn't want to shut down. So I'm still going to play around with it.
On your Power Mac.
What's that?
It's still having that problem on the Power Mac.
Yeah. It wasn't the iMac that was doing it. It must have been the hard drive. So it's something in, you know, the OS that's doing it. So it's got to be an extensions issue. That's the only thing I can figure out. But I've got this giant CRT studio display, you know, one of the last ones Apple made. And I'm getting rid of that because it takes up way too much space. I want to get a flat screen. I'm getting rid of the iMac. I'm getting rid of – actually, I'm dumping both Mac SEs now because I had so many people contact me.
Both of them?
Yeah, both of them through email. And so I figured, well, you know, I just kind of use the Mac SE as a play around machine. I might as well dump it too. And two people wanted the Mac SE. So I said, well, I'll give you both one. And, you know, everybody's happy.
Yeah.
So, and the Power Mac G4, I'm dumping that too.
All right.
So.
Didn't you give that to one of your neighbors?
Yeah, I let him use it for a while, and then I got a Flower Power iMac, and I set that up for him, so he used that.
Okay.
And I just gave that to him.
Right.
So, but I, you know, I'm just cleaning out some space. I need, when I do play around, I want it to be more concentrated and not, you know, my Power Mac G4 hasn't been turned on in months. I feel bad for it, so... Might as well go to a better home.
Yep. Better than just sitting there.
Yep, that's what I feel. Yeah, I got lots of use out of it. So, you know. I mean, if I can let go of an iMac G4, letting go of these won't be a problem.
Yeah.
So. So you've got the Mac Mini now. You've got an G3 iMac, G4 yeah. Power Mac, a PowerBook.
And that's it.
And yeah, see, that's a manageable collection.
With the exception of the iMac, I think I'm using them all. Or I either am using them all or have plans to put them to use on a regular basis.
Right.
So.
And what are you doing with the Power Mac then?
The plan is to turn that into like a home server.
Okay. Yep. Well, that'll be fun. Are you gonna, do you have Leopard on that one or?
Yeah, it's got Leopard, yeah, it's got Leopard on it right now, yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, I found homes for all of mine, except the, nobody seems to want the CRT, which I don't blame them. So I might end up recycling that.
I would take that off you if I've stopped you. I don't like using CRTs.
Right.
It's just eye strain.
It would cost a fortune to ship it to you, let me tell you, because it probably weighs more than you do, David. It is a monster.
Is that the which one is that? Is that the 20 inch one?
It's got to be 17 or 20. I'm not sure which. I've never measured it, but it's the one that went with the first Power Mac G4.
Right.
So it's got kind of that graphite coloring.
Right.
And there was a blueberry model too that went with the blue and white Power Mac D3. So, you know, they just copied everything over when they made the first G4s.
Yeah.
So it's a nice screen. It's just giant. It's a mammoth beast.
Well, yeah. That was the only way to get a big display back then was to make it a CRT.
Yep. And attach this giant motor on the back and
yeah.
Just huge. So, and then the other cool thing I got with the Power Mac was I finally got to hook up my Newtons to it.
Yes.
Yes, I found the driver for my Keyspan. And so I got it all installed, and I can now sync my Macs to both the OS 9 disk and the OS 8.6 disk. And that'll be my next post for Newton yeah. Poetry. I'm going to write about that next week.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah. So you know, I said I was going to return to the stuff, and I was going to be posting a little bit more on the blog. And you know, when I started doing this stuff, when I started tearing apart the iMac to get the hard drive out, I'm like, man, I kind of missed this. So it was nice to be back and dig into the guts of the machine.
Yeah. Yeah, that's always good.
Get your hands dirty. So. What else do we got, David?
Have you been playing, have you got Nevin Mergen's Incident?
Oh, I sure did. Yeah, it's great.
Great.
It's a lot
if
of
you haven't got that, it's a great game.
Yeah, it's $2 or something.
It's weird as well.
It's definitely imaginative. You know, they use some imagination to make it.
Yeah.
Basically, you jump and you avoid falling items.
Falling,
and
yeah.
That.
Things, maybe some guy got crazy and started throwing stuff from the sky.
Right.
And it's all sorts of weird stuff, like, I don't know. Pianos and
neon signs and
yeah,
umbrellas. But it's got that retro look, that 8-bit look. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So,
I also finally got the doodle jump.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Are you playing it right now?
I'm not playing it right now.
Man, lucky you.
I hate all the noises it makes.
Really?
Not all the noises. The jump noise and the noise the aliens make is pretty good.
You know, I don't think I've ever heard it. I always play my games with the volume off.
Right. The
I've never actually heard
monster
it.
Noise is just horrible. Just ugh. It's not even, I guess it's supposed to be scary, but it's not even that. It's just a horrible sound.
Well, now I'll have to try it. But, that game is so addicting that the batteries had to run out on my iPhone before I quit.
I don't find it, I don't play a lot of games. I don't tend to find them addicting.
I don't play a lot of games either. It's mostly when I'm got a few standing minutes, in line. A
few minutes to kill, I'll get up the doodle jump or the incident.
Right. Yeah, it's fun. I got to play with an iPhone 4 again a couple days ago. I went to the Ann Arbor Apple Store and played around with it. I'm with this Verizon news.
You're moving over.
Yep. The AT&T service here in town, and I hate to say this, but it has gotten a little bit better. And yesterday there was a short period where it actually blanked out altogether. And I thought, well, this is it. You know, AT&T finally has their comeuppance. Maybe lightning has struck all their towers or something like that, and it's just what they deserve. But I think they're testing out some things. And I don't know what it means, but all of a sudden, you know, in the middle of the day, the reception would be great and stuff would download just fine. And I thought, maybe I'm dead. I don't know. Maybe this is my version of purgatory where my iPhone works perfectly now. I don't know, but it was kind of nice. And then it went back to normal.
He blames some of this stuff on Apple's buggy baseband software.
Yeah.
Because I do drop calls on my iPhone.
Yeah. I used to all the time, but you know, why would it get better all of a sudden? Like within a day iPhone.
I think that's why I say it. I think it's both. I think it's both that AT&T are phenomenally bad and that Apple's baseband software isn't great either. Which isn't surprising because they wrote it. It was their first piece of software ever to use a mobile phone network. So,
you know, AT&T makes such a better villain. I like fighting them. You know, I've got customer reps contacting me on Twitter, asking me how they can help. I tell them to go to hell. I mean, what can they do? You know, all right, buddy, you want to help me? Put up a tower in my backyard. Like, that's how you can help.
Yeah.
I think they just think that if they contact people who are complaining about them, that somehow complaints will go away. Let me tell you, AT&T, I'm not going away. Not until maybe January.
Yeah. I think it's interesting what they've done with the iPad on Verizon instead of making a CDMA one.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
So pretty much they're just selling the iPad Wi-Fi version in the stores and then Verizon is bundling it.
Yeah.
So it's like a two for one.
Yeah.
And even, but you know, then you got to pay for a contract, right? Isn't that how the MiFi works?
Sorry?
So you got to buy a contract with the MiFi? Is that how it works?
I have no idea. We have different setups altogether here. Like even the MiFi, although it's marketed under the same name, it isn't even the same device.
Which device came first?
I don't know. I think yours, the one over there.
Huh.
But I think that either means there will be an Verizon iPhone or there won't be. Either that means that all these, you know, purported negotiation between Apple and Verizon have actually been to do with the iPad and selling them in Verizon stores with the MiFis and so on. Or it means that this is just the first thing we've seen as part of a longer term deal between Apple and Verizon.
That's the first thing I thought of, was that it's like a toe dipped in the water, you know? All right, Verizon, we're going to give you our phone, but first, we're going to see how you run things. You know, we're going to give you this
magical device, and we'll see how you do with it.
Yeah.
That's what I think happened.
And it's super easy as well, because they can just serve it, you know, serve the exact same Wi-Fi model iPad that they sell everywhere else.
Right. Yeah, they just hand them a box, and then they hand them the Mi-Fi.
Yeah. So I guess that does make it a little more inconvenient, but yeah.
It also not for Verizon.
It also makes it a bit more flexible, because you can use the Mi-Fi with a laptop.
Yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't mind having one. But Wi-Fi is almost everywhere now.
Yeah, I got a Mi-Fi.
So how does yours work? Well, how is it different?
It works exactly the same. It does exactly the same thing, but they're made by different companies. And they're different devices.
Hmm.
Marketed under the same name.
Right. Interesting. I saw the Cult of Mac posted a big interview by John Sculley, and I haven't read it yet. Have you read it?
I saw that on Boing Boing, but I haven't read it yet.
Yeah. I guess he says some stuff about how the Newton saved Apple during the 90s, which, I mean, that's so insane that I want to read it now. Because, man, if they were counting on the Newton to pull them out of the slump they were in, that's crazy.
Yeah.
It's no wonder they had to drag Steve back.
Yeah. And did you see that the photo that Grant posted to Twitter, I think yesterday, of an invitation to the Newton launch event in 93.
Oh, no, I didn't see that.
You didn't see that? Well,
oh. I'll have to post that to the site. That's great.
It says on it, it may just change the world forever. And I think that's just lacking in confidence at that time, because it may just change the world forever. You know, but it might not.
Right.
Yeah.
Steve would say, oh, this is going to change your life.
Look at the Mac marketing in 84. This is going to change the world.
Right. That's a great example of Apple with Steve Jobs and Apple without Steve Jobs.
Yeah.
Like confidence, you know, muscle.
Mm.
He's going to tell you how you're going to love this device.
Yeah.
How magical it is. But I don't know. It's interesting. I think about that quite a bit, how Apple is becoming more like, you know, like Sony. They're becoming more of a consumer electronics company that has their background in computers or whatever. But, you know, they've tried that a couple times with the Newton, with the Apple, with the Macintosh TV, you know, with the digital camera and the CD player and all that. The Pippin. I mean, good Lord. So it took something like the iPod to actually bring them into the consumer electronics world. I just think that's interesting. It makes me wonder what else, especially with the Apple TV stuff. I just wonder if we are going to see someday a big screen Apple TV.
Yeah, I really hope not.
You hope not?
I hope that, yeah. I hope.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Everything with a screen in your house can have an Apple logo.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool. As long as it's cool.
Yeah.
Because the Apple TV now, you need a flat screen, big screen TV to run it, and I don't have one of those, so.
Yeah.
So even if I did want one, I couldn't really use it right now.
I'm with mixed feelings about it. For something that just takes Wi-Fi videos, what I would use it for is taking Wi-Fi video signals and putting them on a TV display. I think £99 is too much.
Really?
Yeah. I think for something that just does that, or I wish that they made something that just did do that. No iTunes Store, no Netflix, which we don't even have here.
Right. See, I get Netflix from my Wii, and Netflix would be the reason I would get an Apple TV if I didn't have a Wii, but I can get it on my Wii, so.
How is the library on Netflix streaming? Is it about the same crappy size as the iTunes?
Yeah, pretty much. It's a little bit, but the streaming stuff, it changes. So you can have a movie in the streaming library 1 week, and then the next week it's gone.
Yeah.
So what I do is I save any movie that looks interesting, I save it to my queue, and that way, even if it disappears from the streaming library, it's still somewhere out there, and I can still call it up. So
yeah,
I've kind of learned from that. But I love it. I just love, you know, having movies on demand.
We have something similar in terms of DVD rentals by post here called Love Film. And I think they have started doing streaming now. I haven't checked out their library. But I think there is something like that now.
It's great. I mean, and to have it run through my Wii so I don't have to buy another device, you know, is fantastic. And I can control it with the Wii remote and all that.
Yeah.
It's great. I love it. And the selection is not what you find on the discs, but I can always find something to watch, you know. And I don't have to wait for the mail to come out and drop it off.
Stream 2001 Space Odyssey.
I don't think it's up there.
Right. It's out the window.
No dice. But they do have, what did they have? Oh, they had Full Metal Jacket.
Oh, great.
Yeah, the other Kubrick movie. So I did watch that when it came through.
Yeah.
I remembered what a great movie that was.
Yeah, I tweeted something about Full Metal Jacket. And bot, I guess it isn't a bot, because what it tweeted at me was so crazily original. I think it was, I could possibly find it, but it was something like, it was basically Hartman tweeting in character.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's funny. Well, and the one drill instructor from that, that's all he does now. That's his part. He only plays a drill instructor in every movie and every commercial he's in. He's even doing football promotional stuff where he's that character, and that's all he is. So he did it so well, he got typecast.
Yeah. So when that happens.
Yeah. That's too bad. But they've got the Godfather series up on streaming now, so I saved all those to my queue because I want to watch those again. I don't even think I've ever seen the third one. And the third one is, you know, the one that nobody likes. But it's got Andy Garcia, and I like Andy Garcia. So I want to check it out again.
Is MGM still in business, you know?
MGM?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Because they've got The Lion, right? So, yeah, I've seen them.
There were stories in, like, late August about how they were going out of business.
No kidding.
Yeah, the stories then were that they could be out of business by the end of September. Let's load up MGM.com.
Yeah,
still there.
Does it redirect to Columbia Pictures?
No, it's...
Because they own casinos here in the United States, so they're...
I actually posted to Twitter, like, a three-point plan to save MGM, and it was like, step one was go to Apple and basically give them, well, offer them for, along with other stuff like, you know, patent licenses for, I bet they've got loads of patents for editing techniques that they could use in Final Cut Pro or whatever, but offer them as unprotected, no DRM, 1080p, all the libraries, all the films they can.
Yeah. For iTunes.
They're just being idiots about it, and they could make gazillions by doing that.
Hmm. Yeah, I agree. They and you know, offer them for $10 a piece or something, not something stupid like $20. Because that's a thing with online downloads and movies and things, is that, you know, you put it up, and I've mentioned this before, you put it up on a server and people download it for money, and it's nothing but profit.
Yeah. Crazy. I think it's the first time where, for some reason, they've just, the entertainment industry have just completely been completely averse to a format change. It's bizarre.
Right. What makes me mad is, and, you know, we go through this every 10 years or whatever, but you buy the VHS tapes, and then you buy the DVD, and then you buy the Blu-ray, and then you buy it online. I've actually thought about taking all my DVDs and ripping them to my Mac, so just that I would have them electronically, you know. Because I don't care about things like, you know, high def or whatever. As long as I can watch the dang movie, I'm fine.
Yeah.
I think sports is the only thing that I think is pretty cool, high definition.
Yeah.
So. Oh, what else? It's been a long time, dude.
Yeah. What about, something we've a major miss we've not mentioned so far. Einstein for iPhone.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's pretty cool. And, you know, that was only a matter of time.
It had to be like a month after I said I thought there would be too many technical challenges and I couldn't do it.
Mm-hmm. Leave it to Paul and Steven.
And Melka.
Yeah. For listeners that aren't familiar with the Einstein Project, it's taking the Newton OS, the ROM from a Newton, and putting it on something else. So, like, they put it on some tablets phones. What's that?
It's a Newton emulator.
Yeah, emulator. Thank you. You can put it on your Mac and play around with that. That's how I usually use it. But they finally got it running on the iPhone and then the iPad. So,
yeah. And Stephen Frank from Panic is also helping with that as well.
Right. Now I've got my message pad 110 right here in front of me and my iPhone. And the message pad screen is just a tad bit bigger than the iPhone screen.
Just a small.
Just a little bit. So, you know, it's kind of between the iPhone and the iPad, the actual Newton screen. So I guess either one could work pretty well.
Mm.
And they've got the handwriting recognition working.
I've used it, Einstein on the Mac before. And then when I got this Mac Mini and the iPhone SDK, I tried the Einstein for iPhone in the simulator. It works good.
Hmm. That's so cool. Yeah, and I thought about this when this project came up, putting Einstein on the iOS devices. And I thought, what if, and I don't know even know if it's possible, but, you know, the Newton has the original graphics from the 90s. So, you know, the inbox graphic, the notes graphic, all the graphics are the same as from then. I wonder how hard it would be to update all those.
Well, not hard at all. I mean, you can do all sorts of crazy stuff with the system packages.
Right. So update them so that they're high resolution, you know, so they look nice on the Retina display or something.
Yeah.
Now, you know, who gets to decide what the notes icon looks like? Right, or you could have several different versions.
I guess what I would think they should do is just do basically a vector trace of the current notes icon, and just make a high resolution bitmap of it that way.
Right, straight black and white graphics.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or it could be like a skinnable thing, like, you know, there's a bunch of different versions of it. You could pick which one you like.
Yeah.
So either way.
But I don't, you know, I think it'd be a fun project, and I actually might do it. Take some of those icons and make a modern day. It's not that the old ones are ugly, but you know, the resolution isn't as high and they're a little bit pixelated and
yeah.
Some people like that. I mean, some people, you know, they like the retro look, but I just wonder what if.
Yeah.
I think it'd be kind of cool. As long as it has that that green glowing screen, like all the newer Newtons have, the backlit green glow. That's what makes it authentic.
Hmm.
Oh. So you haven't actually put it on your iPhone then? You just kind of run it on the emulator?
In order to put it on your iPhone, you need to get the license from Apple. And until I'm actually in the throes of composition of developing an app, I don't think I'll actually sign up for that.
Oh, right, their developer program?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. The $100 a year or whatever it is?
Yeah.
That'd be what? What? I mean, what is it in pounds? 150?
Yeah, it's they don't actually do a pounds version. It's just you pay in dollars for the developer license.
I see. And then Magic Pixies translate it.
And
convert it.
Well, the good thing about that is you pay it the exact conversion rate instead of, you know, the inflated version that they'd normally charge.
Right. That's fun. I always tell myself I'm gonna try to learn some computer language, like some programming language. But I think it'd be cool to mess around with iPhone development and stuff. But
yeah.
But man, it would take a lot of homework and a lot of time and stuff.
And you're amazingly busy already.
Seriously, it's crazy. Can't even do a podcast with my good friend David. You know, been so busy.
Yeah.
And we talked about doing one when I was out west.
I've been busy as well.
But you offered to do one while I was out west, and I think that would have been possible because I took my iBook G4. But the thing was, there was only one place that I took it that I had Wi-Fi, and that was the University of New Mexico. But the battery strength on my iBook is so low now that it only lasts, you know, an hour or two. And that's just browsing the web. I can't imagine what recording a podcast would do to it.
Yeah.
We'd have to do one in 10 minutes or something. It's crazy.
Yeah. Or leave it plugged in while you actually podcast.
Right. Which, you know, of course I don't take my plug with me everywhere.
Oh, okay.
Well, that would have been a good idea. So. But yeah, I usually take my iBook G3, the clamshell, when I do road trips and stuff, but I took the old G4, the iBook, and it held up well. It was nice.
Yeah.
It's a little bit smaller than the clamshell, so that was nice. Not as heavy.
Yeah.
It's just not as tough.
Yeah. I thought my power book was light until I realized it until I tried to take it to school every day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, get you one of these new MacBook Airs.
I can't do without an optical drive.
Yeah, I don't think I could either. I mean, I burn and rip a lot of CDs.
Yeah, so. you still buy, you know, physical CDs.
So. Right. And DVDs and all that stuff. I much prefer to have the physical copy. And even, you know, when I buy the electronic version, I still burn a CD as a backup. So
yeah,
I need something to do that with. But you could always get the external drive, right? The plug-in one.
Yeah, but that's another thing to carry around, though.
Yeah, it kind of defeats the purpose, doesn't it?
Yeah. I tell you what I didn't get. I didn't get an iPad.
No, me neither.
No, I was all geared up, gonna get one in during September, and then Thomas Brand tempted me with his Mac Minis, and basically I realized that I would do much better with a Mac Mini and a PowerBook than a PowerBook and an iPad.
Yeah, I would make that choice too. Just to have the Intel Mac, you know, would be worth it.
Mm.
So yeah. I played with an iPad at the Apple Store, and they're fun to play with. I don't need one. I don't need it.
Hmm. I guess I could see a use for it for me, but until they just, you know, add a few capabilities and maybe change things around, I think it's just. I think I'll probably get the second generation.
Yeah.
Like I did with the iPhone.
Yeah, me too. If they make it compelling enough, and if I can justify.
Do you reckon it's gonna be 7 inches?
Yeah, I don't pretend to know.
I think it might be, because I think that it might be just they'll take the Retina display from the iPhone 4 and basically double the width and double the height. So instead of a 3.5-inch thing, it'll be a 7-inch thing.
Yeah?
Yeah. Now, Gruber argued that they're not going to change the physical size of the device. But I don't think Apple's scared to do that. Much as they see third-party developers as an important part of, a very important part of, the iOS system. I don't think they're, I think just like on the Mac, they're not afraid to, you know, piss them off by changing things occasionally.
No. No, they kind of do what they want. But for people like me who don't want an iPad, you know, is a 7-inch one going to make me want one? No, not really. You know, my iPhone is still good enough.
A seven-inch one would be, you know, would be lighter. Does an iPad need to be lighter, you could argue, but...
Right.
I think it'll probably look a lot more like the iPhone 4. I think it'll have an external antenna, the next iPad.
The 3G model?
Well, both. It'll have an external Wi-Fi antenna.
Hmm. And all glass?
Yeah.
No, I wouldn't... No way.
No way, okay.
No way, nope.
But they could get rid of that ugly black slab on the back where they have to have where they put the antenna on the 3G model.
Yeah, it could be. When I was playing with the iPad the other day, I flipped it over, and I'll never get over them getting rid of the metal backings on the iPhone. And, you know, seeing it on the iPad, it just looks so nice, and it feels great.
Mm.
And I so wish that the iPhone still had that option.
I think the glass one feels good.
Yeah, it does.
Having held an iPhone 4 in my hand, I think the glass back does feel good.
It just feels like the solid chunk of awesomeness.
Yeah.
I mean, it is great.
That's the name of the show right there.
And the camera. I mean, I would buy an iPhone 4 just for the camera. I mean, it is just fun and spectacular to play with.
Yeah.
It takes great shots.
Yeah. Yep.
And you know, now that you can do the FaceTime camera where it faces you, you know, you can use that as a camera too. I just think it's great.
Yeah. I don't think people are using FaceTime that much, actually.
Based on what? Where do you get that opinion?
Based on anecdotal evidence.
Hmm.
Because my older brother just had a baby, and he said that he, as as I went to visit him and his newborn child, he was on the FaceTime with one of his friends showing the baby, and he said that was the first time in about 2 months of owning the iPhone he'd actually done it.
Hmm.
Compared to, you know, probably a couple of hours of audio time on the whole, and he'd spent 5 minutes on FaceTime.
Right. And maybe that's it. Maybe it's just a nice added feature if you need it, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, now that my roommate commented on this, but, you know, you get an iPod Touch, what do you need a phone for if everybody's got FaceTime now that that's got it?
Yeah. Have you seen any of the new iPods?
Yeah, I played with the new Nanos a couple of times now. I played with them when I was out west, and I played with the one here in Michigan a couple of days ago.
Yeah. I've seen like people with the new Touch. I haven't seen any new Nanos, and I don't think I've seen a new Shuffle either. I was thinking of getting a new Shuffle because they're amazingly cheap now.
Yeah. I love my Shuffle. I love it to death.
Yeah,
it's my gym iPod.
Yeah.
Loaded up with podcasts and away I go. And I like the feel of it. Like I can reach into my pocket and feel which button I'm pressing or pause or even turning the thing off, and I don't even have to look at it. I just go by feel. Yeah. You know, which one do you have? Something I hated about the previous version.
Which one do you have?
I've got the model before the stupid little button.
The one that looks kind of like the new one.
Right. It just doesn't have the voiceover stuff, which I'm not interested in anyway.
Yeah.
If I ever lost this one, I'd be devastated.
My favorite design of the Shuffle was the original.
The pack of gum one.
Yeah.
No, I like this. I like to be able to clip it on. I like the color. It's perfect.
And I think that my favorite iPod design of all time is the fifth generation. Mm-hmm. And not just because that was the first one I got. I think it's the height of iPod design. I think when people think of the iPod,
that's what they think of.
Yeah.
Was that the photo or the video?
Yeah, the iPod video was the marketing name for it.
Yeah, that was my first one too, and still the one I use. That's still the one I use. 30 gigs.
Unfortunately, my screen, the one on my screen got busted. It went off crazy. So I've still got it. I mean, I could probably send it to Apple and get it repaired, but maybe I'll do that someday just to have a working fifth generation iPod.
Right. I love mine. I took it out west. You know, I don't. That's what I took. The only problem is I'm running. I'm totally out of space for it. Like I can't add anything new to it. I have to subtract and then add new music that way.
Christ, you have a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
How big is your music library?
Let me look. Let's pull up iTunes. I have 6,854 items that would run for 21.8 days straight, and that equals 32.14 gigabytes. So my 30 gig iPod, you know, I've got 2 gigabytes too much. And I don't even think that's counting.
I'm speechless. I'm actually gonna go and see how big my iTunes library is. Wait a minute, because. It's going to be like a...
You're speechless, really?
Yeah, that's huge. In total, I have... I guess if I just... Maybe I can shoot everything.
Now, podcasts, I have 405 that would run for 13.1 days.
And I have a total of 8 gigabytes.
In iTunes? A total of 8 gigabytes?
Total of 8 gigabytes.
Judas Priest.
Yeah, that's small compared to yours.
Wow.
I guess it's just because I stream off Last.fm so much.
Oh.
I just don't own a lot of the music I listen to. I just stream it.
Now, in my mind, that's madness. When I bought my iBook, you know, the first Mac I ever had, that's the first thing I did was I took my entire CD collection and ripped it right into iTunes. And then I went out and bought an iPod, and my system was complete.
Yeah.
But that took, you know, a month to do that, because I would sit, watch TV, and keep popping in CD after CD after CD, ripping them all.
Yeah.
Took forever. But, and the way I see it, you know, I have a backup copy of all the music I've ever owned, so.
Yeah. That's good. That's.
If my computer crashes, I have the CDs. If my CDs get stolen, I've got, you know, backup copies all over the place. So. 8 gigs, man.
Yeah.
You could fit that on a Nano. You could fit your entire collection on an iPod Nano.
Yeah, I guess so.
I might be able to put a playlist on a Nano.
Yeah. After the Apple event, after the iPod event, Tom Brand and I were discussing, I don't know if you were in that the chat, but Tom Brand and I were discussing if they might add a 3G option to the Shuffle, so allow streaming, like through apps.
That'd be neat.
Yeah,
and I think you mean to the Nano?
It wouldn't be like an App Store thing. It would be more like iPod games, where you have to be a streaming service and you have to enter like a deal with, an actual deal with Apple.
Yeah.
To do it, it wouldn't be like, you know, anyone can pay. You know, here's my $100. Now can I?
Right.
Stream music to the iPod.
Yeah, that'd be neat.
The screen is just pathetically small to do actual apps.
Right.
Couldn't do that, but streaming you could do.
Yeah. It's almost the size of the iPod Nano. It's almost uncomfortable to have as a touch screen. I almost find it annoying.
I haven't used one yet, so I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, the size is nice because it's just like a Shuffle, and you clip it on, and you know, it's very portable, and it's nice looking. But I can't imagine using that every day as my music device.
Yeah. Well, you have 32 gigabytes; it would never fit.
Imagine all the scrolling I'd have to do. That's crazy.
Yeah.
So. I missed the click wheel already.
Yeah.
And I had a Nano. I had the second generation Nano, the ones where they went to the brushed aluminum.
Yeah, the quote unquote the fat Nano.
No, the one before the fat Nano, because they had the one where they made all the colors for the first time.
Yeah, I know the one you mean.
Yeah, and it's got the smaller screen, but it's, you know, it's metal. It's very nice. And then I got it wet and it ruined it. But
oh dear.
Yeah, but that's still my favorite iPod Nano design. Was that one?
Mm.
And I didn't even need one, but I went out and bought it just because I liked it so much. I got one of the refurbished ones. So.
So, I guess that's.
That's the show, huh?
Yeah. I guess we're done.
Good.
Hopefully the recording hasn't screwed up.
Right. Well, I feel better now that we've talked.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been grumpy these last month and a half.
Right. The world makes a little more sense now.
Yeah.
A little more.
Yeah.
It's like we've been trapped in a mine in Chile or something.
Yeah.
All this time.
So, we still haven't played Mario Kart.
But. No, and I actually haven't played much of Wii lately at all. But I'll get back to it. This winter, I don't go out so much, so we'll play.
Yeah.
We'll invite some other people. See what they've got. See who their character is. See if they're any good.
Yeah.
So.
They've got no chance against us.
You know? We're pretty freaking good. And then when it comes to the combat stuff, like the balloons and the coins and stuff, yeah. I want to find someone who can match me.
Yeah. So hope we can do it again soon.
Yeah, let's do it soon. You know, we could even do it after next week, after the Mac event.
Yeah, yeah.
See what they've got for us.
Yeah. Well, again, I don't think there's going to be anything much significant.
I think it happening is significant, so
yeah.
I'm going
to... I think I might finally be right about... I've always had this thing about calling, even before the name is announced, I've always called the next Mac OS X version Lion.
Lion, yeah.
Because they have to do it someday.
Eventually. But I don't know, it doesn't roll off the tongue like the other one. But I don't know what cats they have left.
Cougar?
I think, yeah, because there was Puma, there was... I think Cougar might have been like 10.1.
No, 10.1 was... I think that was Puma. Or Cheetah.
Yeah, Cheetah, that was it. We'll look that up.
Good names. Do you think we'll start seeing names for iOS releases?
Well, they're all based on the code names, so
yeah,
we'd have to see what the code names for them. Yeah, 10.0 was Cheetah, 10.1 was Puma. So that was it. And then Jaguar and Panther and on up we go. I loved the marketing stuff for Jaguar because they put the spots all over it. I thought that was neat. I've actually got the box from the Jaguar release, and it's, you know, it's the X is all fuzzy and.
Yeah, sorry about that. Just had to mute for a second there.
Sorry, I was talking to myself. Well, the invitation looks like it's a lion, so it's got to be a lion. So I guess we'll see.
All right. I think the funniest prediction I've seen is the people who think it's going to be like Mac OS and iOS are going to merge together.
Yeah, no way. Like Apple doesn't have enough to do to...
And also, people thinking that we're now going to get a major change away from Aqua, it's not going to happen.
No? You don't think so?
No. Well, why would they? If their concentration is so clearly on iOS, why would they suddenly do a major UI overhaul of macOS?
Right. Yeah, maybe the Aqua stuff is just going to stay through the 10s, you know, through the whole series, and then they reboot it at 11.
I don't think that's going to happen.
Well, we'll just see, David. We'll just see, okay? We'll find out.
Okay. Well, we're willing to bet we won't see Mac OS 11.
It's fine. It's recorded now. Your bet is in the internet now.
Yeah.
I'm not brave enough to say that. All right, sir. Let's get out of here. Anybody who's listening live, thanks a bunch.
Yep.
We hope everything has worked out and you were able to hear us okay. It's kind of an experiment, but I think it, you know, we didn't get any tweets or whatever saying it was down, so.
Yeah.
From all our fans.
We didn't say it was, didn't get any tweets saying it was up either, so.
That's true. Oh, well. All right, well, till next time.
The corner of this room just looks like a rat's nest of wires with to get this live stream working.
Right. Well, good on you. So thanks, David Kendall, for getting the live stream up and running.
Okay.
I'm Dave Lawrence. You can find me at newtonpoetry.com.
I'm David Kendall. You can find me at dpk.org.uk. Blog system we mentioned at the start is at frontispiece.org. And, yeah, that's about it.
Yeah. Great. All right, we'll talk to you next time.
Yep.
Yep. See you.
Bye.
Bye.